but I need His tangible presence to be manifested to me. I need to experience a fresh touch of His glory, and I've been praying for that this week. I'm going to share a little bit later on about some things that God's been doing in my heart. And I asked the men a question this morning. I'm going to ask you the same question. What's God doing in your life? What's He doing in your heart? Is He doing anything? Do you sense the hand of God? Do you sense the voice of God? Is God moving in your life? And God moves in our life in different ways. Sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's a heaviness, a weightiness. Other times, God's moving in your life and just pushing you out of your comfort zones and calling you into some type of a ministry. Maybe not a ministry in the church, but ministry outside the walls of the church. So ask yourself this question this morning. What's God doing in my life? Can I put my finger on the hand of God and what He's doing in my life? And if you can't, you may need what I need this morning. You may need a fresh touch, a fresh anointing. So I just want you to be obedient today. Would you do that? Amen. I don't care who you are or what you're here for. Just be obedient to the Lord today. We're going to worship a little while. And if the Lord opens an opportunity for me to preach for a few minutes, I'm going to do that. But I don't have any preconceived notions about what the service is going to look like today, other than I want the Lord to be uplifted and exalted and glorified, and for Him to make Himself known in the service today. The Lord can do in 5 seconds what I can't do in 50 years. So I want the Lord to do a work here in our midst today. Amen. Let's stand. God, we need You this morning. I need You this morning. I know that You live in my heart. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I know I'm part of Your body, part of Your bride. But I really need a touch from heaven this morning. I really need You to move and to minister in this place. I need, God, for You to just show up and to show off Your glory. And Lord, I pray that You would do a work in every heart. Maybe we didn't come as prepared as we need to be, but I pray at the very outset of this service that the Holy Ghost would simply arrest our attention and that You would get us where we need to be. Lord, draw us into Your holy presence. And I pray that the sin that is in our life this morning, that You would put Your heavy hand upon it, God, and may we bow our heart, our knees in confession and in repentance this morning. We can leave this place purged. We can leave this place cleansed, and I pray that You would just do that work of repentance. You say in Your word that when we repent, we experience the times of refreshing that come from Your presence, and so I pray this morning that You just do a supernatural work here. God, I don't know the hearts of the people that are here, but if for somebody lost, Today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow might bring, but today they have an opportunity to be made right, to be justified, to be at peace with You. And I pray that the Holy Ghost would move and bring about conviction of sin, convince them of what Christ has done and will do, and bring them to a place of repentance that they might be saved. And Lord, if there are some in here like me that just need to be brought back, that just need to be renewed and refreshed, I pray that You'd do that, God. Our church needs revival. Your people across this nation need revival. It has to begin somewhere, and I pray that You'd let it begin right here in this place among these people this day. Be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Christy, just keep playing that for a minute. Let me ask you this. When's the last time that you really felt the presence of the Lord just moving your life in a tangible way? When's the last time you were in a mind frame of worship and God just showed up? And listen, it happens. It's happened to me. It happens to me sometimes just riding down the road in the car. I just suddenly become aware of the manifested presence of God in my life. It's more than just knowing as a fact that I'm saved. It's actually experiencing God, just being overwhelmed. I know I've been coming back from the hospital in Jacksonville before and singing worship songs, and all of a sudden the Lord just moves. And I know people think I'm crazy because I've just rolled the windows down, stick my hand out the window, and weep. When's the last time you felt that, or have you ever felt that? I can tell you, you can walk through a dry and thirsty land. You can be saved on your way to heaven, but still walk through the desert on your way there. Amen? Listen, the Lord wants to do something in your life today. And I'm confident of this. If you hadn't felt Him in a long time, He wants you to feel His presence. Now, feelings are not everything, but they are a part of who we are. And if you don't experience that tangible feeling of love and affection and devotion to God, if you don't stand in awe of Him, then you need that today. You can't keep going like you're going. I can tell you the truth. I can't keep going like I'm going. I just can't do it. I tell you what will happen if I keep going like I'm going. I'll quit. I'll just throw up my hands and walk away from it. And I don't want to do that. That'll dishonor my God. That'll dishonor the Savior that saved me. I can't keep going like I'm going. I've been going through the motions too long. I've been pretending that I feel His presence for too long. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm thirsty for Him. I'm hungry for Him. I want God to show up and show out in my life. I want him to make Himself known to me every day so that I can make Him known to others every day. Amen. I want you to sing this song this morning as a prayer unto the Lord. Ask Him right now. Listen, the Bible, I believe, God wants to reveal Himself to His people. The Bible said if we ask anything according to His will, that He'll do it. So I want you just to pray as you sing this morning. God, make Yourself known to me. Has the Lord blessed you? Has He been good to you? We'll just begin with a word of thanks for His goodness to you. And then ask Him to reveal Himself to you in this service this morning. I always feel like this. It's not my job to be a cheerleader. If we can't pause long enough to reflect on the goodness of God and give Him the glory that He's worthy of, ain't nothing that I can do to make you truly worship Him. If He ain't already done enough, there ain't nothing I can do to lead you to that place. But if this morning you know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God has done a work in you, and God is doing a work in you, and you've seen His blessings being manifest, He's worthy of your worship this morning. So as we sing this song, just pray and say, God, make Yourself known to me. I need You. I need to feel You. I need to experience You. I need You to cleanse me this morning. I need You to fill me with Your Spirit this morning. I need You to use me for Your glory. And God will do that. He said if we ask anything according to His will, He'll do it. God, I pray You'd move right now in Jesus' name. Let the power of the Holy Spirit just move through this building and do a work in all of our hearts and lives. I want one of them services today, God, where we don't want to leave because we're afraid of leaving Your presence when we walk out these doors. I know that that won't happen. We'll never leave Your presence, but God, I pray that we would be so tangibly filled with the Holy Ghost in here this morning that we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We wouldn't know how to close the service, and I ask it and plead for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thirst for You. We search for You in a dry and barren land. We're longing for Your hand to guide us to a place where You can cleanse us with Your rain, baptize us once again. Spirit flow.
Hallelujah. Be obedient this morning.
Hallelujah.
If you need to pray and you want to pray out loud, pray out loud. If you need to testify, testify.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it rain. Spirit Jesus, the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear and let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Let it
rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, just rain down on us right now, Lord Jesus. Just pour your spirit on us right now, God. Search our hearts right now, God. Create in us a clean heart, God. May we do your will and glorify you in everything. Every note we sing, everything we do, God, glorify you in this service today. In Jesus' name.
Seated for just a minute. We're going to come back and worship. If you have a hard time standing up, you feel free to sit down and worship. I don't want you to have to feel compelled to stand. You can worship prostrate on the floor. Brother Ashley, I tell you what's more important to me than him playing the guitar and leading the singing is that he worships the Lord. And so if he has to back away from the guitar and the microphone to worship, then that's what I want him to do. All right? And however the Lord leads you to worship, I just want you to be obedient this morning. I preached homecoming at my home church last Sunday. I shared some of this with the men this morning. And I got to visit with my old pastor a few minutes after the service. After lunch, actually. He came and sat down, and he asked me how long I'd been at Zion Hill. And I told him that we were going on 22 years. And he said something very simple that God used just really to convict me and been dealing with me about all week this week. And it was, and you're not going to make sense to you at first, but he simply said this: well, you have surpassed me. He served as my pastor for 21 years. And when I told him I was going on 22, he said, you've surpassed me in your years of ministry. And I don't say this disrespectfully, and I love him with all of my heart. I do, and he knows that I do. And he was not an immoral man. He didn't do anything wrong. But the last 2 years of his ministry at my home church, he really struggled. He lost his wife, and the church gave him some time off due to her death. But when he came back, he had lost his zeal. He had lost his passion. He preached, and it wasn't that his messages were unbiblical. And it wasn't that he wasn't preaching truth. It's just that he had lost his zeal and his passion for God's word. And you could tell it just kind of came through that he hadn't spent a whole lot of time in prayer, and he hadn't spent a whole lot of time in preparation. He hadn't really heard from God. The messages that he preached, he was just kind of digging them out of a book somewhere and delivering them to the people. And here's the thought that came to my mind. The longer you stay in ministry, the easier that gets to do. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. Number one, I've been doing this long enough now. I can come up with a message. I mean, you give me about 2 minutes preparation time, and I can find a passage of Scripture, and I can preach from it. But that don't mean I'm where God wants me to be. It don't mean I've heard from the Lord. And it don't mean I'm giving you what the Lord would have me to give you. I have taken the years of experience and used them to craft a sermon that more or less just fills 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes of your time, and then we go home. But the problem with that is none of us have met with God. I didn't meet with him, and you didn't meet with him. The other reason I think we do that is because my home church, he was like family to us, and we were gracious to him, and we're going to be gracious to him, and honestly, probably would have let him stay there for as long as he wanted to stay there, even though the church was in a steady decline. And I know you folks are good to me, and you've been kind to me, and I know that you love me, and I know that I love you, but I don't want to just be here filling up years. And I prayed all week this week, and I said, Lord, if and when my ministry is over at Zion Hill, I want you to let me know it and them know it. If I ever lose my passion, if I ever lose my zeal, help me be gracious enough, if I'm not willing to seek that passion and that zeal again, just to step aside and let somebody else come. Because I want God to continue to do a work here. If Jesus tarries his coming, I want Zion Hill to be stronger 100 years from now than it is today. And I never want to be part of its decline. But I want to tell you, I'm just being transparent with you this morning. I've been slack. My prayer life is not what it used to be. And it's not what it ought to be. My devotional life is reserved for a few minutes in the morning, and honestly, it kind of gets to this place. I try to share a little devotional thought with you, and that becomes my motivation for getting up in the morning reading my devotional. I got to share something with somebody else, but I can't tell you that I've honestly met with God in my morning devotions. I know what the Scripture says, and I can give you a truth from it, but as far as having an encounter with God, I can't tell you that I have that on a consistent basis. And a lot of times, the time that I spend in the Word is more just seeking a message for you than it is seeking the face of God for me and for you. I don't have the zeal that I had. I don't have the passion that I had. I'm not doing the things that I know that He's called me to do. And when I do, I'm simply doing them out of duty. I've lost my passion. And I want to tell you this morning, it's been heavy on my heart all week this week. And the verse of Scripture that kept coming back to my mind was from Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus told the church at Ephesus, "I have somewhat against you, because you've left your first love." Now, if you read the context of Revelation chapter 2, I'm not going to go read it, but you'll find out, here's what Jesus said about the church at Ephesus: you work hard. In fact, he applauded them for several things. He said, "You work hard, and I appreciate your hard work." He said, you're a patient group of people. "I appreciate the fact that you're determined to accomplish what I sent you to do." They were a moral people. He told them that they hated those things that were evil. They could not bear them which were evil. They hated evil. They renounced it. They spoke out against it. When false prophets or false apostles came along, the Bible said that Jesus said, you heard what they said, and you've examined them, and you realize that they're preaching false doctrines. So these were people that worked hard. These were people that were determined. These were people that were moral. These were people who had a handle on the truth. And they hated what Jesus hated. But at the same time, he said, "You don't love me like you used to love me. You don't love me like you first loved me." Y'all remember the day? Do you remember when you first got saved? Honestly, I thought anybody in the world that heard the testimony of what God had done in my life, anybody that heard it was going to get saved. That's just my naivety. But I was so happy about what Christ had done in me and for me. I just knew everybody that I had an opportunity to share it with was going to come to Him. And I shared it with that kind of zeal, that kind of enthusiasm. And, I was saved in 1993 and called as a deacon in my church in 94 and called a pastor here in 95. God had a hold of me. He really had he had me in the palm of His hand, which is what the Scripture says. Jesus, walking among the candlesticks, holds the stars. That's the messengers of the seven churches in His hand. He literally held me in His hand. I felt His presence every day. But there are seasons of our life where there's an ebb and a flow. The tide comes in, the tide goes out. And Jesus is looking at His church at Ephesus and saying, "You know what? As far as your love for me is concerned, the tide has gone out. You don't love me like you used to. You've left your first love. You've left that first zealous affection that you had for me." You can even say this about the church at Ephesus: they were head and hands faithful. They were head and hands faithful, but their heart wasn't in it. Can I tell you this? We can be head and hands faithful, but our heart ain't in it. I can be head and hands faithful, but my heart can be far away from God. Our love can wane. It can wax cold. Our affection for Christ and for each other even can begin to dim. I was reminded of a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 2. God was reflecting on Israel and how they used to be. And God said to them, "I remember you. I remember the kindness of your youth and the love of your espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown." If you understand, in fact, the New Living Translation makes it a little bit easier to understand that he's talking about that when I brought you out of Egypt and began to carry you through the wilderness, I remember how zealously you loved me, how connected that we were to one another. Think about this in your marriage. Y'all know when we first met one another, we were goo-goo out over each other. Couldn't get enough of one another. Couldn't spend enough time together. Couldn't talk. I remember sitting on the phone with Cindy for hours on the end just listening to her breathe. I mean, that's the kind of love, that first love, that fresh love. You know, we could talk on the phone for 5 hours. She's got 10-page love letters that I wrote her when she went out of town for 2 days. That's first love. That's deep love. That's affectionate love. That's can't get enough of you love. And God said, I remember when you used to love me like that. I remember when your affection was genuine, when it was real, when you wasn't just following me with your hands and your head. You were following me with your heart. You went after me. You pursued me. You wanted me. And I, you know what? I go through seasons like that in our marriage. We do. Where the love kind of just gets cold. It's not that we don't love each other. It's not that we don't want to be around each other. It's just not like it used to be. And there, if you don't do something with that in your marriage, you know what happens? It makes you ripe for the tempter. If you let your love grow cold in the marriage, I promise the tempter will come. And the most vulnerable you will ever be is when your love waxes cold. We can get the same way in our relationship with God. The most vulnerable we will ever be is when we're just serving the Lord with our hands and with our head and not following Him with our heart. And I don't know about you, but I don't need to give the devil any advantage over me. I find myself weak enough as it is. I do not need my love for my Lord to grow cold. Your head and your hands won't build a strong relationship. They won't. Your heart. That's the foundation. A slave can serve his master with his hands and his head, but his heart can hate every act of service that he performs. But listen, the Lord, He doesn't. We make ourselves voluntary bondservants, but He doesn't want us to be slaves. He wants us to be willing servants who serve from a heart filled with love and affection for Him. So I got to ask you this morning, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Have you lost your first love? Do you love Him like you used to love Him? Do you love Him like you ought to love Him? You know, I take a look around sometimes, and I think Zion Hill's kind of fallen into one of these cycles where the tide's going out again. I know that's part of our life personally. That's part of the life of the church. But we really need to be careful, because there was a or else situation in this passage. Jesus said, repent and do what you did at first. Repent and do the first works. Repent and serve me with your heart. And what He said was, if you don't, I'll remove the candlestick out of its place. You got to understand, Jesus is walking among the church, and what He's literally saying is, you're going to lose your influence. You're going to lose your testimony. You're going to lose my presence in your midst. You're going to lose your fellowship with me. You're going to lose the peace that comes with that fellowship. You're going to lose the joy that comes with that fellowship. If you don't get back to your first love, you're going to lose everything that means anything to you and to the kingdom. We can't leave our first love. I got to ask you some questions. Where's your heart? Have you lost your first love? And there's some ways that you can really test that out. If church is something you do, if there's nothing else going on, then you've lost your first love. If an hour spent on Facebook is more fulfilling to you than an hour spent studying His Word with other believers, then your love has grown cold and your heart's not in it. If talking to other people about your problems is easier than spending time in prayer, talking to the Lord about your problems, and our heart's in the wrong place. If the giving of tithes has become a burden to you, and you can't give with a cheerful heart, if witnessing to other people is something that you never do anymore, if telling somebody about the goodness of God in your life and what Christ has done for you is not something that's part of your everyday activities, then your love has grown cold. The Lord don't just want our head and our hands. He really does want our heart. In fact, he told his people when they were in their most rebellious state, he said, you're honoring me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. Where's your heart at this morning? Listen, I see folks all the time who get to this place where their love grows cold, and pretty soon immorality creeps in, and pretty soon apathy creeps in, and pretty soon indifference creeps in, and pretty soon you can't even identify them as a child of God. They may be on their way to heaven. I'm not questioning their salvation, but they're not marked in the world as somebody that follows Christ with passion. I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. And I'm going to pray this prayer in all sincerity this morning. God, if you can't give me back my passion and my zeal and my love, if you can't take me back to where I was, then give me the grace and the strength to step away from this church and let them call somebody that can fill this position with zeal and passion. Because you deserve better. He deserves better. Amen. Where's your heart at this morning? Let's stand. Lord, I want to be here at this place and serving among these people until you call me home. But I don't want to do it when it's just my head and my hands and not my heart. And so, God, I'm asking you this morning just to come and do something fresh in my heart, do something fresh in my life, renew a right spirit in me. Lord, I've been working. I've been doing what I know needs to be done. I've been laboring. I still hate evil. I'm still practicing morality. I'm still loving truth and hating evil. But Lord, my love for you is not what it ought to be. Not what it used to be. And so I pray this morning you'd refresh and revive me. Maybe there's somebody else here just like that, God. That's the heart of worship. And I pray that you take us back to that place today where your will, your way, your work, your kingdom, your church, whatever, Lord, is about you, that's what fills our hearts and our minds. That's where our zeal is. That's where our attention is. That's where our passion is. I pray that you'd work right now. Work right now. Bring us back to our first love. Help us to repent in Jesus' name.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart.
Listen, somebody may be waiting on you to lead them to this altar this morning. Somebody may be waiting on you to lead them in worship this morning. Somebody may be waiting on you to make a move before they make a move. Let's be obedient this morning and do what the Lord would have you to do.
You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hey, listen. Even if this altar gets full, y'all just kneel down in the middle of the aisle. It don't matter where you're at. You can stay right where you're at. God's going to hear you wherever you stand, and it does not matter. If you need him, call on him, because I'm telling you, coming from where I was spiritually before I got saved, it's not somewhere you want to be. It is not somewhere you want to be. If you're struggling with faith, if you're struggling with even believing he's real at all, I'm telling you, the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener on God's side, I'm telling you. If you need him, call on him, because he wants you. And he don't care where you've been before. He don't care what you've done before. Come to Jesus, I'm telling you.
Hey, worship him this morning. He's worthy. Worship him this morning. King of endless word.
King of endless word. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I am is yours. Every single breath.
Sing it out.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what
hallelujah.
You have
thank
required.
You, Lord, God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You search much ooh, deeper you, within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart.
Sing it
hallelujah.
Out.
I feel a touch of heaven in this place.
I'm coming back
thank
to
you,
the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you,
hallelujah.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Above all the earth.
somebody here this morning needs to give their heart to you right now in this minute, I pray. Lord, you give them just the courage to step out. We'll rejoice with them, and the angels in heaven will rejoice with them. Listen, if you hadn't already moved and the Lord's put it on your heart and you've just not been obedient, we're going to close with a little bit of a jubilant praise this morning. God's worked in me. He's worked in me. The Bible, listen, he promised me that if I'd seek him with my heart, I'd find him. He's not hiding from us. It's not that God doesn't want to reveal himself to us. It's just that we don't seek him with our heart. We just pay him lip service. So if you haven't been touched this morning, if you haven't got anything, maybe it's because you hadn't given anything yet. When you get to that place of surrender, when you really just fall at his face and say, God, it's not your hand that I want, it's your face. I just want to experience you. He's still got a plan for you this morning. He can still do a work in you this morning. Let's worship and praise. Amen. I ain't gonna cut you off. You got a word now. If you need to speak, if you need to pray, whatever you need to do, you do it. Let's worship this morning. Let's leave on a praise note.
He is able.
God is able. He will never fail. He is Almighty God.
Yes, he is.
Greater than. Greater than all we ask, he has done great. Lifted up, he defeated the grave. Raised to life.
Mr. Horace had to go back this morning to the emergency room. He's losing some mobility on his one side again, like there's some bleeding going on. Let's lift him up. Sister, Mr. Carol, Penny's got her, she's got her plate full right now, so let's pray for the whole family. God, thank you for Brother Horace. Such a wonderful, sweet, kind, hardworking man, God. He is a Southern gentleman, and we love him. He's our friend, Lord. And I pray this morning that you would just reach down in Savannah, Georgia, and in the name of Jesus, that you would touch whatever's going on in his body, Lord. If there's bleeding on his brain, that you'd stop the flow of the blood and that you'd dry it up in Jesus' name. I pray that you would give him health and strength and mobility. Bless Penny and all of the family that are there that are ministering. Bless Sister Carol. I pray that you would just give her, God, clear thought and just clear her mind and help her to be able to function. And Lord, we just rebuke Alzheimer's and dementia and whatever else is going on there in her mind, and we pray that you would just give her clarity now. Bless that family, God. Restore health completely in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
I've had a lot of trouble with my faith since last January when Daddy tried to kill himself, because even though the Lord saved him, I didn't understand it. And it's hard sometimes for us to go through these things, but it is all part of God's plan, and we just have to put our trust in Him. Confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. I know you're good. Feel good right now, and I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God, and I child on my knees, all that comes to me is thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will. I know you see me. I know you hear me, Lord. Your plans are for me. Good news you have in store.
Let's stand. We're going to sing one last song, and then we'll dismiss you from this place, but not from His presence. Amen.
I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real, death is a lie. I want to hear voices, angels above, singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. To your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Shake before you, the demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great.
This ought to excite y'all, Lord.
This
should excite y'all.
At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I. Thank you.
God, you're great. You're great. You're mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the power that's been manifested in this place. Thank you for breaking bondage. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord, for calling us back to our first love. Thank you for everything that you've done in this service and everything that will result, Lord, outside the doors of this church. I pray, Lord, that we'd go out with a fresh fire, a fresh zeal, that we'd go out and tell the world that Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Thank you for adding to our body. Thank you for sending Heather our way. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I get discouraged when I see people leave, but I pray that you would help me to focus on the fact that when you send people into our midst, that you have entrusted us to take care of them. As a family, as a body. So help us, God, to be encouraged that you are still adding to your body here at Zion Hill, and we're grateful for that. I pray that you would just bless. May we depart from this place, but not from your presence. And I pray that God, you would work in us and then work through us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.